We're planning to have one baptism next Sunday. So if anyone else is has desire to be baptized, if you have not, you should. This person that is going to be baptized next Sunday, he was baptized when he was very young in the Lord. Didn't understand a whole lot, and now that he's got more understanding, he wants to do it with the full assurance of what it means. So, it's not just an act. It is an expression of the heart, not only to the Lord, but to anybody else that would watch. You know, you are expressing your desire to follow the Lord, and so it's a great witness and a statement of where you stand. Last time we were out in the park, but before then, we started talking about gratitude. And I want to review a few things now that we have had 2 weeks of realizing how fragile things can become in a hurry. And there's nothing sometimes that we can do about it. And we have experienced this hurricane hitting us, this area. And, our tendency is to be in our woes. And yet, what Scripture calls us to have an attitude is an attitude of gratitude. Gratitude is very connected to your level of happiness and joy. In fact, we talked the last time that 10% of our happiness comes from circumstances. And the other 90% comes from a heart of gratitude. So, we think about changing our circumstances will change our level of joy. Well, think again. It is a condition of the heart. Happiness and joy sort of go together. Joy comes as a gift of God in the heart. Happiness is just an expression of that joy outwardly. We talk about some facts that non-Christians have found out about grateful people. They are the happiest people. Those that express gratitude regularly have more energy, and they have a better outlook on life. They have less emotional and psychological problems and issues. They are less envious. They are less materialistic. And so not only is a great thing before the Lord to be grateful, it's good for you. It is. It is great. Gratitude is a decision. Like I say, you get hungry, and that comes naturally. I mean, it's just part of our body function. But then you have to decide to get up and do stuff. There are a lot of things that we can be grateful for. But if we never say anything, then it doesn't get an account on our side. Gratitude doesn't seem to be a natural thing. It's not an instinctive thing for most of us. So we have to decide to do it. And we found out that the more you decide to do, express gratefulness, it gets easier and easier. And then the more you declare gratitude, the more things you notice to be grateful for. We tend to stay stuck in the negative, especially with the news that we have nowadays. They are looking for sensationally negative things. And so, we stay stuck to the news and media, we sort of stay stuck in the negative. And yet there are so many things around us that we can be grateful for that we take for granted. Like your muscles in your physical body, gratitude muscles respond very well to regular exercise. You build up exercise gratitude, you express gratitude, and it flows easier. You become a buff in gratitude. That's what we want. And of course, it is from gratitude, an attitude of gratitude, that we are compelled to act and live as grateful people, as the Lord has called us to. We look at some examples 2 weeks ago of gratitude in the Word. We look in the book of Ezra, when the Israelites were left from captivity, 70 years of captivity, and they were left back to go back to Jerusalem. And they were given funds by the king to build a temple. And so, you know, after Solomon's temple was destroyed, that was a great monument. So they built a foundation, and they were so excited about rocks on the ground. They were grateful that they were at that level. And that gratefulness gave them the energy and the joy and the determination to continue building up. They were very excited. We read the scripture in Ezra chapter 3, verse 10 and 11. We looked at Psalm 9 and 1. It talks about praise and gratitude, that it starts in the heart. And once you bring it out, it triggers action. There are a lot of things that we know are right. In fact, in the Word, we're constantly being told of the good things of the Word. But many times our problem comes in that we don't act on them. And so it starts in the heart. You receive the Word. It lodges in your heart. But then you have to cultivate that by expressing it. And it triggers action when you express. We saw also in Psalm 35, verse 18, that gratitude needs to be demonstrated publicly, not just privately. You know, Psalm 35, 18 says, I will give you thanks in the great assembly and among many people. That's why we give joy, peace, we testify in this church, and we allow time for all of that to happen. And on body ministry, that's a great time to come and share the gratitude that you have for the Lord for what he's done for you. Not only to speak it out and testify, but to sing about it. Not just sing it, but sing loud. Shout it out. And, you know, sometimes it can be a sacrifice. For some of you, you feel like getting a panic attack because you're going to get a mic in your hands. But as you do the sacrifice of thanksgiving, it gets easier. The Lord is pleased with it, and it gives you the strength to continue. A true heart of gratitude doesn't just look at circumstances. It looks at the faithful God that we have, who loves us, who loves you and I so much. We talk a little bit about how to become people full of gratitude. We talked about, first of all, contentment. We look in Philippians 4:11. This is Paul speaking. The Apostle Paul was first known as Saul of Tarsus. And that was not a nice guy. He was rough. He was a Pharisee. He was very strict. He was mean. And so, You know, when God, when Jesus appeared to him, there was such a transformation in that man. And as I look at Paul, how he used to be, and then if you read the New Testament, how he became a guy that expressed gratitude to the Lord. He was always grateful to the Lord, and he was always testifying and giving glory to God for everything in his life. And as I look at the change that Paul experienced, it gives me hope to know that I can change as well. Some of us think, well, that being grateful, that's for somebody else. I just tell it like it is. You don't know how it is. You know, we think we know. We don't know. So, Paul was a guy that learned. You see, contentment. He had to learn to be content. And that's why he was so thankful. It didn't matter whether he was in, and most of the time he was in jail writing these letters. And there was a lot of praise and adoration to God, thanksgiving. And he was fine where he was. He didn't have any needs, he said. He was content. He learned that through the circumstances that he went through. So, to be a grateful people, full of gratitude, you need to be a content person. We spoke about also remembering. We need to remember what things the Lord has done in our hearts. David in Psalm 103 verse 2 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not." You know, as I get older, I tend to forget things very quickly. I imagine you have noticed. Sometimes I even, your names, you know, I recognize faces. I know you, I know I'm supposed to know you, but I can't remember your name. It's beginning to happen more often than I like. And yet, the things that the Lord has done in my past, I don't forget them. I remember what it used to be like and how the Lord has worked in my life through many circumstances. And I'm so thankful. I'm grateful for him. So we need to be content people. We need to have a good memory of what he's done in our past. Recognize where he has done work. And then give him glory for it. And then we need to be people full of generosity. In Proverbs 11:25 says, "A generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself." As you give, you know, gratitude is something that you give to the Lord and to others. And so I'm not talking about being generous just with money. Just in your attitude towards others. You don't have a meology problem. Me, myself, and I, you know, just I. I am the most important thing. You know, there's a few of us that have that problem. It's all about me. Well, we have to get out of ourselves to have a heart of gratitude. There's a rich guy. He lived, he was born in 1912, and he died in 2008. He said, you know, he was very rich. He invested in all that. And he was a Christian. And he was asked what was the reason for his success in his millions and probably billions. And he said, one thing, gratitude. And then he added, "If you are not grateful, you are not rich, no matter how much you have. But if you are grateful, you are rich, no matter how little you have." I thought those were great words. There's some gratitude killers that we have to avoid. And, you know, not only do we have to look at things to be grateful for, then we have to watch out our heart. You know, our heart is very deceitful and desperately wicked, like Jeremiah says. One of the things that destroy gratitude is being envious. Oh, you know, you can't give up a praise to anybody. You just have to get green and say, I wish I had that. He doesn't, she doesn't deserve it. I should have that. Being envious is a desire to deprive someone of what they have. That should be mine. That job should be mine. That dress should be mine. That truck, that tractor, that tool. Fill in the blanks. Envy is a gratitude killer. Another one is greed. All we do is, and all we think about is accumulating and never share anything. That's greed. I was very excited to see people and churches and organizations respond to the needs that they saw out there, because the news were portraying a lot of bad stuff going on. People not having enough, being destitute, wiped out, hungry. And so I saw and I heard a lot about organizations just cooking, going out in groups and reaching out to communities, to people that were homebound. And I know Belinda was expressing all these things. Gave was an opportunity for us to sow and give and be generous and share what we had. I know some of you may have been maybe a little short. Rather than having four cases of water, you only had one, you know, during the storm, even though you didn't have electricity. And you thought, man, this is not going to last. Well, it did last. You never thirst. And yet, when the opportunity came, you shared. And I was excited to see the many cases of water that was taken to meet the needs of those that didn't have anything. So gratitude killers, envy, greed, coveting is a desire to have more than I have. Some people say, I don't want much. I just want a little more than what I have right now. I don't want the whole world. I just want a little more of what I got now. That's greed. And that's a killer for contentment and gratitude. In fact, in 1 Timothy, I know we studied this as we were looking finances some a few weeks ago. 1 Timothy 6:6. Now godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. That's a great statement there. Contentment, godliness. We don't own anything. Everything that we have has been given somehow to us by the Lord. And when we leave this world, we're not going to carry any of it with us. So I don't know what our problem is. We want to hoard and hoard. Verse 8, and having food and clothing, with this we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So envy, greed, coveting, and finally arrogance. Arrogance is an attitude of whatever I have is mine, and I deserve it. I worked for it. I own it. In fact, I own what I got and what you have. I should have it. Some people are very arrogant. Those are grateful killers. If you notice, these four things are ungodly desires. All of them. They are temptations in our lives. Do you know that sin is powerless if it doesn't have desire? Temptation makes ungodly desire come alive in us. In James chapter 1, verse 14, James says, "But each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desire and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death." I want to remind all of us that whatever sin it is, it always, always, always brings some kind of death. We're not talking about physical death. Death of relationships, death of confidence, death of trust, death of self-esteem, or God esteem, I should say. Death of communion with the Lord, communion with people. Sin, when it is full grown, bring forth death. Sin never affects just you. It always affects those around you as well. So to beat temptations, we have to work on our desires. We have to reorder them. We need to admit that those ungodly desires and the attitude behind them are not appropriate. Even though nobody else may notice, the Lord knows. And He doesn't want you dwelling in those. We need to admit that those ungodly desires are taking center stage in our thinking. And yet, you know, all of this ungodly desire, usually we focus on things that we don't have, that typically we don't need, that usually we can't afford. And in this vacuum of desire, we lose sense of gratitude for the things we do have. And so, this is a very subtle trick of the enemy to distract us from the important things in life. You know, we get so focused on those things that we think we need, but not really. We can't afford, but we want to get them anyway. There is always more going well than going wrong. I want to repeat that. There is always more going well than it is going wrong. It is not joy that makes us grateful. It is gratitude that makes us joyful. And so we need to learn to be grateful, even in the worst of circumstances, just like Paul did while in jail. He praised the Lord. He thanked people in the worst of circumstances. And if you get to that point, that even in the worst point, you still see the glass half full, then when things are right, you are really in a high. You get to enjoy and are grateful for the things that you do have and enjoy. So we need to be thankful. In fact, Scripture commands it. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16, he says, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Listen, anything that happens in our lives, anything that happens in our lives, it has to first go through the Father's desk. He has to say, either no, that's not going to happen, I won't allow it, or he says, yes, I'm going to allow it, because through it, I'm going to bring something. Good, bad, indifferent. Sometimes our sin goes all the way to the desk of the Father, and the enemy comes accusing us and said, God, that servant of yours committed sin. I have legal authority to do him some bad things. And God has to say, yeah, I said that sin bring forth death. So you can allow, you are allowed to do certain things. And the Father has to allow some things because we choose to be disobedient. But the accuser never stays with just sin. He wants to crush us, and the Lord says, nuh-uh. There's some things you can do, but there's some others you can't. Remember Job? You can touch his body, you can't kill him. And so he touched his body. That was tough. We need to seek the best for others. You know, a heart of gratitude, all it looks at other persons and looks at how they can encourage them. You know, what are they doing good? Romans 12, 15 says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Usually what we do is, well, I don't know what's wrong with that person. Need to get off that depression. What's wrong with them? You know, like they're doing it on purpose. They're depressed on purpose. Well, you know, sometimes they are ensnared by the enemy's thoughts. But that kind of criticism is not going to get them out. So we need to be people that goes to them and say, I know you're depressed, but you are excellent in doing this and baking that and preparing this thing and that. And I know I've seen you joyful and it just excites me. And you pump them up. Or, you know, if they're really sad and hurting because somebody, you know, is hurting or they're hurting themselves. You know, what do you do when somebody loses one of his family members? Some people just choose to stay away from them. They need encouragement. They need for you to come alongside of them, hug them and say, I heard with you. I'm so sorry, I can't do anything to ease that pain, but I am with you. I'm praying for you. Encourage them. Let them know you're feeling the same things that they are feeling, and you help them carry the burden of their loss. Don't stay away. You don't have to say a whole lot. And usually, you know, it's better not to say much because usually we say the wrong thing. Oh, they're in a better place. like that helps. Well, sometimes it does, but you know, I'm sorry for your loss. I'm sorry that you're hurt. Is there anything I can do to ease your pain? Can I cook for you? Can I take care of your kids? Can I do whatever? And help them get through the mourning stage, which sometimes can take some long process. Finally, we need to keep an eye on the future. Not the immediate future, but the future that we have been destined to enjoy. Jesus said in Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth will pass away. You know, we work so hard here. Just like that storm came and wiped up a little island. I bet those people worked themselves to death building all whatever was built. And then one day, it was all gone. When the Lord comes back, all of this is going to be burned and it's going to be made new, better, perfect. So don't put your roots here on this earth. We're not from here. Not yet. Not in this imperfect earth. We will be part of the perfect one. But don't bank on this temporary thing. So keep your eyes on the future, because this is going to pass away. In Colossians 3:2 says, set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. Don't get too materialistic. I was watching a movie with my wife last night, you know, about some stuff. I mentioned the movie, you know it. Probably watch it. But you know, people in this world, especially this age, people are so fickle. Glamour and things and all of that can crumble in just a second. And today you're the greatest guy and tomorrow you're forgotten. You don't matter anymore because tomorrow's thing is not including you. You're left behind. Sad. Colossians 3:5 says, therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness. All of these are, again, unholy desires. And he's saying, these members which are on the earth, put them to death and bring up things that will last forever. The eternal things, the gifts, a graveside visit can be a time of great perspective. You know, some of you choose never to go to a cemetery. You probably need to. And realize, one day, all of us will go through this if the Lord doesn't come. We will leave this place, so I don't know why we are so always so focused in thinking that this is going to last forever or stretch it as long as we can. Until we learn to be grateful for what we have, we will not receive the things that we really want. I'm going to say that again. Until we learn to be grateful for what we have, we will not receive the things we want. And if we do get them, we won't recognize them. Hasn't that happened to you? I want. Never appreciate what you had. I want this. And somebody gives it to you. I want that. Never realize that you got what you were asking for. God help us. There's a quote I found. It says, to be grateful is to recognize the love of God in everything. Every breath we draw is a gift of His love. Every moment of His of our existence is a gift of His grace. Gratitude takes nothing for granted. It is never unresponsive. The grateful person knows that God is good, not just by hearsay, but by personal experience. To end up, I have a jar here. You recognize this jar? Leda gave me this jar. I think it was, Ashley did? Well, you gave it to me. Ashley gave it to you. You gave it to me. Ashley's not here. I got this Christmas, I think, or New Year's of 2020, 2-3 years ago. It's got a notepad, and it's got a card with instructions. And it says, it quotes Jonah 2:9, says, "But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say salvation comes from the Lord." And then she instructed, "This January, start the year with an empty jar. Each week, add a note with a good thing that happened. On that New Year's Eve, empty the jar and read about all the amazing ways God blessed you this year." You know, I never did. I took the notepad and wrote stuff in it, but I never put anything in the jar. You see, we can know how to do good and never do it. That's what most of us do. I'm not much of a writer, but I am stubborn enough that if I decide to do something, I'll see that it gets done. Usually do it myself. You know, you may not be structured strong enough to be able to do this once a week, even once a day. I know there are things that we can watch and write and realize and be grateful to God and others for things that happen to us, and we can write them down. And at the end of the year, you can read and realize how much God has blessed you during that year. But you don't have to be that structured. Maybe once a day, you can choose to hone on one person, watch them slowly, and giving praise and gratitude for whatever they're doing, that they're doing right. And verbalize it. Takes less than a minute. It will build your heart of gratitude. And it will encourage that person. You don't know how many people are starving. You probably are starving for recognition. "Nobody notices what I do." It is just a heart lifter. When they praise you, I mean, it just blows you up inside. Well, sowers are reapers. You sow, you reap. Learn to be grateful to people around you. When you spend time with the Lord, tell Him of all your good, of all His goodness towards you, and you will develop a heart of gratitude. Father, we thank You. We thank You, Lord, that even through the experience of this hurricane hitting our area, Lord, we can say so many things that we didn't experience because of Your grace and Your mercy and Your love for us. And Lord, You give us also opportunity for us to show kindness to others. Help us, Lord, not to allow negativity and criticism in our hearts. But Father, give us a heart that we're grateful to others for what they do, for what they stand for. And Father, open our eyes that we may see how many different ways you bless us day by day, minute by minute, every breath that we take. We thank you for it. We want to develop grateful hearts. And Father, in an attitude of gratitude, you're always present. And Father, we just pray that we would be that kind of children that exemplify the character of our Father. And Lord, we give you praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed. If anyone needs prayer, there's still time to receive prayer. God bless you.